The Serenity Prayer has really helped me through the monumental struggles in my life. I made this Serenity plaque. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I would like to share some of my many struggles and how in the last couple of years God has helped me deal with my health issues. Now my testimony will be quite graphic, so I will understand if you feel like you will need to leave. I was born in Osborne, Kansas, November 16, 1953. I was a healthy baby. By the time I was in second grade, some of my problems had already started. I had stopped eating, and the teacher would feed me. In retrospect, my psychologist said I should have gotten help back then. When I was a junior high, my mother often said I would come home from school crying all the time. I felt bullied and teased. I was angry and depressed. When I did my homework, I would take my hairbrush and beat the back of my hands until the bristles brought out blood. At recess, I would find pieces of glass, bottle caps, nails, or any sharp objects, bring them into my classroom, and injure myself inside my desk. I was head cheerleader in the eighth grade. One of the teachers said I showed no pep in my cheerleading. That made me feel inferior. I started dating Dennis when I was in eighth grade, and he was in seventh grade. When I was going with Dennis, I didn't care about the bullying and being teased. I dated Dennis all through my high school years. I ended up graduating from Osborne High School in May of 1971. I wanted to get out on my own so much that I started attending Brown Mackey College in Salina just 2 weeks after graduating high school. When I first started going to Brown Mackey, I studied hard. But then I started mingling with the wrong crowd. I started smoking, drinking, and shoplifting. My studies suffered. I drank to the point where I would pass out and not know what happened, or not know where I was or how I got home. Dennis and I broke up due to my drinking and smoking. After that, I spiraled downward even further. I drank excessively, waking up with strange men and wondering how I got there. As time progressed, I became suicidal. One night, I bought a bottle of aspirin. I went to a truck stop where I sat there and swallowed the whole bottle. A woman from the suicide hotline contacted my parents, and in the wee hours of the morning, my parents drove me to Topeka State Hospital. I was there for 2 months. I did not understand the reasoning for my activities that they had you do. I guess it was supposed to help you ventilate your anger, release your emotions. I had to wash walls, and boy, were their walls clean. Take a toothbrush to the floorboards, sand wood, and circle E's in a magazine. All of these for an hour each, every day. Was I ever glad to get discharged from that hospital? When I was discharged from the hospital, I moved to Manhattan, Kansas, where I would be closer to the job I had waiting for me at Fort Riley. It was a federal civil service job working as a key punch operator for the Army. But it didn't last. I ended up in the state hospital again. I was more agitated and aggressive. The staff controlled me by putting me in solitary confinement, or another name for it is the hole or the dungeon. And when necessary, I was put in leather restraints, both wrists and ankles, and then on top of that, I would be put in a straitjacket. This occurred every evening for weeks. I also recall a series of electroshock treatments. There were 25 altogether. Before each of the treatments, early in the morning, they would give me a muscle relaxant. That's so when you're in convulsions, you don't your muscles will be relaxed. I would be escorted to a cold, dark room where they had me lie on a hard, marble-like table. I would be given a shock causing me to go to sleep. This occurred 3 times a week for about 6 weeks. After the treatments, I would wake up tied to a chair, disoriented, confused, and having no recollection of what had happened. After being discharged 10 months later, I didn't have a job to go back to. So at my parents' request, I went home to live with them. I don't remember how long I lived with them while commuting to a nearby mental health clinic in Hays. One night after my group therapy session at the clinic, I discussed suicidal feelings with the group and the therapist. I was admitted to their inpatient unit. I was held there for 2 days before being transferred by the sheriff's department to Larned State Mental Hospital. I would spend 2 years at Larned. I went from good to worse, to good again, then back to worse, like a roller coaster. I was suicidal, self-destructive, spent lots of time in the dungeon with restraints and straitjackets. When I had cafeteria privileges, I started going on a diet where I lived on milk at breakfast, iced tea at lunch and supper. When I lost down to 95 pounds, they told me not to lose any more or they would hospitalize me and tube feed me. When I lost down to 88 pounds, they did just that. I went through a period of time when I didn't want to come out of seclusion. If they tried to have me come out to stay, I immediately broke as many windows as I could before they put me back in the hole. I was very content there. Another occasion, I spent several months strapped, naked, and in restraints in the sleeping quarters where the suicidal, handicapped, and ill patients were housed. Other patients, staff, and security personnel would wander in and out of that room. I didn't even have a sheet to cover me. Finally, at my request, I was accepted to Prairie View, a private hospital in Newton, Kansas. Prairie View was remarkably different from the state hospitals. I had more freedom, activities, responsibilities, group and individual therapies, and I was treated more humanely. However, I still struggled with suicidal feelings and a deep depression. The staff eventually decided to administer more shock treatments, 19 in all. I had become so uncontrollable, I couldn't be trusted. For instance, I attempted to drop a lighted match down the gas tank of the hospital's vehicles. After being at Prairie View 6 months, it was decided I needed long-term treatment. So I was transferred back to Topeka State Hospital. During the next 2 years at Topeka State, I once again spent more time in seclusion, straitjackets of restraints. When patients were in seclusion, they were to be observed at 15-minute intervals. Bathrooms were on the other side of the locked door. A patient often spent hours yelling for the staff to allow them to use the bathroom. Sometimes the bathroom needs were not met. It was demoralizing when the staff unlocked your seclusion door and handed you a mop to clean up your own mess. When I had a feeling I was going to end up in seclusion, I would go to my locker where I had pieces of glass hidden. I would put a piece of glass in my mouth. Then, when I ended up in seclusion, I would have the glass to cut myself. When they found me, they couldn't find anything. Thinking the glass was in the room, they would move me to a different seclusion room. I would cut myself some more. They still couldn't find the object I used. Once I got into a fight with the staff when I had been cutting myself. One of them spit on me, and another one said that it's too bad my parents went to bed that night. That didn't help my self-esteem. They put me in a straitjacket and restraints. I played Houdini, got out of the restraints, out of the straitjacket. I used the leather restraints to bust the plexiglass in the seclusion door and grabbed the glass pieces to cut myself more. You can see all the scars from all my cutting. I don't remember all what happened when I broke the plexiglass. If I recall correctly, they had a doctor come in to stitch me up. After being strapped down for 10 months, I was finally allowed out of restraints, but I grew progressively more suicidal, destructive, hopeless, desperate, depressed. On many occasions, I would elope from the hospital. Elope is the term the hospital used for running away from the institution. I would make serious suicide attempts while on elopement. Once I went to a dark parking lot, and I asked God to help me through what I was about to do. I broke the bottle, and I had it with me. I broke the bottle in half and jagged the edge into my arm. Blood gushed out. I did the same thing with my other arm. Then I just ran into the darkness. I just ran and ran and ran. Next thing I knew, I was being taken into an emergency room of some hospital in a wheelchair. They had put over 30 stitches on each of my arms. Another time, when I ran off, I went to a bar and picked up some matches. I bought a gasoline container at Stop and Shop, filled it with gasoline. I walked to a church. I stood in the front yard of the church and poured the gasoline over me. But I messed up again. The matches in my front shirt pocket were soaked with gasoline. Frustrated, disappointed, I walked to a nearby police station and turned myself in. When the police officer took me back to the hospital ward, I asked him for a cigarette and a light. He didn't give me one. After that incident, I became obsessed with fire, setting fire to my trash can in my room, burning myself with cigarettes. I tried to suffocate myself several times with trash bags. I tried to elope again and again. Finally, all they could do was place me in restraints and tie me to a bed. One day, a hospital driver attempted to take me in shackles from the medical ward I was on to a doctor's appointment downtown. Well, this driver and I got in a fight. He didn't drop me back at the medical ward. He dropped me off at the maximum security ward. Now, I really felt hopeless, angry, desperate. By 10 o'clock a.m., I got to that ward about 8 o'clock. By 10 o'clock a.m., I had acquired a cigarette lighter from another patient. My prayers had been answered. I sat down and wrote my mother a suicide letter on some newspaper because the staff wouldn't give me any paper. At exactly 2:15, January 12, 1979, I attempted to end my misery. I went into the men's restroom. There was no one there. I stuffed paper towels in my mouth to muffle my screams. I then set my pant leg on fire, my shirt tail, and my sleeve. My pant leg went up in flames. The shirt tail and sleeve didn't catch fire. Next thing I knew, I was laying in the hallway in a puddle of water. An aide said, "You'll do anything for attention." I was taken by ambulance to Stormont Vale Hospital's burn unit. Again, I was depressed, as I had failed to commit suicide. But I was relieved, and thanked God I was no longer behind the doors of the maximum security ward. Then I got to thinking about God and how He was giving me a chance to make a new beginning, to get away from my past, to start a new life. 3 days or so later, I was transferred from the burn unit to the psychiatric unit, and I had a whole new staff. I saw a chance to crawl out of the deep, dark hole I had dug myself into for the past 7 years. I began to do my best, doing what the staff requested of me. I tried my hardest to make changes in my life. I tried to never complain about the extreme pain from my burns. The bandage changes every 3 hours. The weeks of traction. Every time I had bandage changes, I had a little bear called Patience. My sister had given it to me. And whenever I had bandage changes, I would bite down on his paws. It hurt so much. So I did this to myself. What right did I have to complain? I turned it into a challenge. My parents were with me when I had my surgeries. They prayed with me, praying the surgeries would go well. This is a period in my life when I felt the closeness of God. With a new life ahead of me and under my parents' guardianship, I was eventually transferred back to the small inpatient unit of the mental health center in Hayes, close to my family and my hometown. I continued to make progress with my life, as well as to aggressively treat my burn and learn to walk again. I spent 4 hours every day in physical therapy. I still had problems coping with food and eating. I had lost down to 88 pounds again. But I was considered emotionally well enough to be transferred to Modelark Homestead, which is a rehabilitation center in Newton. Being at Modelark was a positive move. I was finally achieving my goal of making my life one of success instead of failure. But after 5 weeks, I emotionally collapsed after my medication had been decreased. I broke the window of the front door at Metalark, seriously cutting myself. They had to transport me to Wichita Hospital, where the next morning I went into surgery to repair two tendons I had severed. After surgery, I was sent to the inpatient unit in Hayes again for 5 weeks. It was decided that I should live with my parents. I didn't want to live with them because I didn't always get along. Eventually, I did get my freedom when I moved into an apartment that was run by the mental health center. I had a part-time job working as a janitor. But once again, I became frustrated, angry, down on myself, down on life. I made a drastic attempt to lose weight. My life slowly fell apart, and I was admitted to the inpatient unit again for 3 weeks. I lost my job, was suicidal. I manipulated my boyfriend, which is my husband now, into buying a handgun so we could go target shooting. Well, what I had in mind was I would be the target. Because of the gun, I got kicked out of the mental health center, and I was refused further services. I picked up the pieces and went on with my life. I found another therapist I liked. I saw him for 3 years, and while I saw him, I never spent any time in the hospital. I got my life somewhere back to normal. I got an apartment where I lived for 5 years before I got married. It was cozy, cheap enough to afford, and it was my home where I could do my own thing. I also got a part-time secretarial job where I worked for 5 years. After the fifth year, I was terminated due to the fact my work was not up to par. I was still dealing with the obsession of losing weight. Besides concentrating on my food intake, I was exercising. I had a diary where I recorded not only my weight and exercise every day, but also every food item I ate for the entire day. When I ate, I counted each bite, only odd numbers of bites. One cookie, three cookies. 5 M&Ms or 7 potato chips. I took over the counter diet pills and abundance of laxatives. And if that I hadn't hurt myself enough, I discovered I could stab my burn leg with pencils or knives and cause it to bleed without any pain. From that time on, I would injure my leg by stabbing it with pencils and knives, or I would burn my leg with cigarette lighters and butane lighters. I even had a therapist to allow me to injure myself in therapy. The leg would become infected, had a very offensive odor. I was sent to a wound care specialist. My doctor and I now have an agreement to this day. If I have an urge to hurt my leg, I'm to go to his office and he'll put a cast on it. When my doctor put me on clozapine, which is a medication that replaces all of the old psychotropic drugs, I had one problem. Clozapine is an expensive medication. With my grandmother's financial support, $600 a month, I was able to take the medicine, which helped me tremendously. Without her financial support, I would not be the person I am today. Now my husband helps me with the medication costs. He is an important person in my life. I met Reg in September of 1980 through mutual friends. A few days later, he asked me on a date. Now we've been married 27 years, so we must have did something right. In addition to the mental health issues I've dealt with, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's on October 16, 2005. I had a heart pacemaker put in May 6, 2008, and a bladder pacemaker in 2011. I've also got COPD and emphysema. I may have ailments, but God is taking care of me. I thank Him for all those times He saw me through. I know I'm here for a reason. He has a plan for me. I try to listen for His direction in my life. If I hadn't had the trials and tribulations and experienced all the different situations I've been through, I wouldn't be the strong, positive, caring, loving person that I am. And I walk with the Lord, so He helps me be stronger, even more positive, more caring, and loving. I stand before you today because of my sister-in-law, Jan Parks, invited me to come to Hayes Christian Church with her. My first impression was a good one. I noted it was a small church. Everyone knew each other. Eventually, I brought myself to church. I began to attend regularly, look forward to coming to church. I liked the pastor. Eventually, I brought myself to church. I began to attend regularly, look forward to coming to church. I liked the pastor and everyone that I came to know by attending church regularly. I yearned to know more about God. I was thirsty for the Word. I wanted to be closer to God. I wanted to share my faith with others. I wanted God in my life, and I wanted to serve Him. I wanted Him to work in my life and deliver me from sins. I wanted Him to turn my world around so I could live a more positive life. I wanted to walk with the Lord, and so I made the decision to be baptized. I was baptized on March 27, 2011, and joined Hayes Christian Church. Like the footprints, Jesus has carried me to where I'm at today. With my past behind me, I look to the future, and walking with the Lord is the most important part of my life. Since I have Christ in my life now, and I love myself, I have moved from self-focus to focusing on the needs of others, looking for ways to help and encourage them. I'm a hospice volunteer, and I have been for 30 years. I'm a volunteer for the Community Assistance Center and have been with them for 5 years. These are two places where I believe God is using me. Robert Schuler from the Crystal Cathedral in California, by the way, when we was on our honeymoon, both of us went to the Crystal Cathedral. He said the following, and it's one of my mottos I follow. No problem leaves you where it found you. I will be a different person when this problem is past. I will be a wiser, stronger, more patient person, or I'll be sour, cynical, bitter, disillusioned, and angry. It all depends on what I do with this problem. Each problem can make me a better person or a worse person. It can bring me closer to God, or it can drive me away from God. It can build my faith or shatter my faith. It all depends on my attitude. I intend to be a better person when this problem leaves me, as I was when it met me. I want to close with what's called the Possibility Thinker's Creed. I apply this to my life also. When faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. Robert Schuler.
You've been listening to Testimony Sunday at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus. to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.